Hi and hello, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here. Make sure you check out the Dave Damashek football program. You can watch it on YouTube, NFL.com. You can listen to it on iTunes or Stitcher or NFL.com/podcasts. We look at the world of pro football and the game called life.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? James Coe here on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. We welcome you in as always. All right, down to four people today. We're missing one of our regular teammates, Alex Gelhar. I believe, if I believe his Twitter timeline, that he is back in the great state of Wisconsin.
Am I correct? He's in Scone.
Am I correct in saying that?
He is in Scone right now.
I feel like he takes a lot of vacations for a guy that...
Now, here's the thing. I think in his defense, he is back for his League of Record draft, which is kind of a friends and family sort of thing.
Okay.
I believe they are locking themselves in a basement with a keg of oat sodas. And
cheese, right?
And they're going to just draft their butts off.
Dad is gone, also, guys. Dad's gone. Time to party. This podcast is lit now.
Gelhar also said it's the last time he gets to hug his mother.
Oh, dude.
Before the season starts.
What?
He has made that joke like 500 times, and I think I've heard it 500.
I enjoy
all 500
it. I enjoy that.
Well, I mean, the NFL fantasy crew is certainly not afraid of beating a joke to death. That is sure.
In the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin stead, we have the Irishman.
The Irishman in the house tonight.
Brandon McGinnis?
Today, I guess. Yeah.
What's up, buddy? Oh, it feels great. First time here.
Okay.
Nice.
Love it.
You know, I feel like it's sort of like a podcast exchange. I made my debut on the Around the NFL podcast earlier this week.
Oh, wow.
And so now we're taking their producer, and he's sitting in with us. So
That's great.
It was great. If you haven't listened to the ATN's Fantasy Extravaganza, Marcus was on part two, and it was great.
Booyah.
You did a really good job.
I had to represent for the Stronghold.
And I liked the fact that, you know, you got a little, you know, esoteric there with Mark Sessler at the end in saying that, hey, listen, if fantasy was to end tomorrow, we'd all move on.
We would. We'd all figure out.
I appreciate that.
Esoteric. What a great call. I love it. The Magical Beard Fantasy, Matt Franciscovich. What's up, pal?
Hey, James. Doing well.
You heard the silky tones of MG, my guy, Marcus Grant. What's going on?
You know, yesterday was a busy day for me. I was here. We have the media sales guys.
You put in a solid 15-hour day yesterday.
Because the media sales team always does a big fantasy league for a lot of their clients, and
right.
So they ask some of us to kind of come and be draft consultants and stuff. So I was there, you know, kind of sort of working and schmoozing and shaking hands, but
sure.
At the same time, I was also conducting a draft for my League of Records. So
Look at you.
So I was trying to, like, be social and at the same time, like, duck to the back of the room and, like, work the phones and try to see what's going on in my draft, too.
By the way, we're going to peel the curtain back. MG was here, what? You were here at about 5:30 in the morning.
Oh my
gosh. You left at about, what time did you leave, dude?
Actually, so I got here about a little bit before 7 o'clock yesterday morning, and I left, it was almost 10 o'clock at night.
Sad.
It was nearly 10 o'clock at night, so yeah.
That's pretty good.
Get a life, nerd.
And it is the pride of West Virginia, Matt Harmon. What's going on?
Hey, everybody.
All right, we got a big time show for you. Talking about... That one caught me off guard. The AFC South will be discussed in full today. The Texans, the Colts, the Jaguars, your boy A-Rob, should we take him in the first round? And the Titans as well. I will get the last fan league person into our Danger Zone League. We're going to close out with Daily Daps. But I must remind folks, sign up for NFL Game Pass. It's the best.
It is.
It is the bee's
really
knees. NFL.com/Game Pass to start a 7-day free trial. I'm sorry, what'd you say, MG?
Yeah, do bees have knees?
Where did that phrase come from?
I feel like their legs aren't long enough to have knees.
Don't they, like, gather the pollen on their legs?
Well, they must have knees because their legs are bent, are they not?
I'm going to Google bees.
I listen, mean, if you're
not
out
like
there.
They just have straight sticks just walking around. I mean, no, they, like. Their legs are bent.
If you're out there listening and you know where bees' knees came from, all make right. sure to tweet all of us.
All right, very good.
So that we can become smarter together.
So, again, NFL Game Pass.
Just by game.
Off the rails.
NFL.com. I told you, dad's gone. We're partying.
I'm trying to get back. NFL.com/Game Pass to start a free 7-day trial, live out-of-market preseason games, and then game replays during the regular season. MG, you are a fiend of Game Pass. Tell the folks why they need Game Pass.
I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, my favorite feature of Game Pass is the ability to go back and watch the condensed games, where you can watch an entire NFL game in about a half an hour. And it's great, especially for catching up maybe on a game you didn't get to see or scouting certain players. I know that last year during my off days or on Mondays or whatever, I would sit and catch up on things I didn't necessarily get to see a lot of, or if there was a player I wanted to watch. It's perfect for that. You can watch everything. It's totally worth it.
You could do the All 22.
Yes.
Which is so cool. It's the camera shot where you could kind of see every single player on the field and kind of how they lined up and basically what happened in a play. And it's a feature that you don't really get just watching television, right?
No, not at all.
No. It's so cool, man. It's a great feature. NFL.com.
Crucial to the work that I do.
That's very true. Very true point. All right, let's get to our top headline, shall we?
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife.
All right, Dallas taking on Seattle. Lot of interesting fantasy implications in that ball game. Tony Romo.
Wow.
He hurt his back 3 plays in.
Surprise.
3 plays in.
Surprise.
And, you know, here's the scary part about it. You know, if he had taken, you know, a blindside sack or something from Richard Sherman or Cam Chancellor, okay, I get it. He was making a routine football play and got hit from behind. Right. It didn't look like a big-time hit or anything.
He kind of got folded weird.
A little bit.
It was like the same
thing that
happened to him 2 years ago against Washington when he, like, bent awkwardly and, like, crumbled to the ground.
It was just a weird play. I mean, he was going – I don't want to say he was going 50%, but it didn't look like he was going 100% on the play. And I know the defense was coming in hot, but – it didn't look like he took a big-time hit. Anyways, he hurt his back, and he was writhing around in pain.
Yeah.
The good news is he says, the owner says, everybody says he's not really hurt.
I did think it was interesting, though, because I was obviously doing multiple things and trying to keep an eye on that game, and everything on Twitter says, yeah, Tony Romo has a helmet on, he wants to come back in the game, and Jason Garrett was basically like, nope.
Entertaining that idea.
One of the announcers of the game, like obviously a Cowboys local market, said, I've got a better shot at going into this game than Tony Romo does right now.
All right, so there you go. So, you know, make of it what you will, but, you know, we're talking about a guy that broke his collarbone twice in the same spot last year. You know, everything that I've heard and read and talked to medical professionals I've spoken with say that if that happens, trust me, they could do things to, quote-unquote, strengthen it, but you are much more likely to break that collarbone again. So we shall see.
It's just a reminder of how fragile Romo is.
But a little bit.
I mean, I just
look, he's a tough guy. Like that's the thing I want to say. Like, he is a tough dude.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. But you could also be a tough guy that's injury prone.
For sure. Right.
And I think that's who he is. He's great when he plays, but will he play? If he doesn't play, I guess basically seeing the injury proneness of Tony Romo, does it make you worried about a guy like Dez Bryant?
Well, I do think that it is something to worry about because, like I've said on this podcast a lot of times, Dez Bryant does not get funneled the amount of targets that a traditional elite wide receiver one does. You know, he has never topped 160 targets in his career.
He's never had 100 catches in a season.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of amazing.
Amazing.
It is. Considering that guys like Julio Jones and Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins pushed almost 200 targets last year,
right,
it's amazing that Dez Bryant's never seen that amount of volume. So he makes his living off being an elite touchdown scorer. I mean, he is the best target-to-touchdown conversion threat in the NFL. They need a quarterback to move down into the red zone to make him viable there. The good thing is we have seen a lot of good stuff from Dak Prescott.
Ain't nobody got time for Dak.
Yo, so I agree. We've seen a lot of good things from Dak Prescott.
Yes.
But an issue – I wouldn't even call it an issue, but something I've seen multiple people mention on Twitter about Dak Prescott is – the way the offense changes when he's in a quarterback, that he has not been, at least so far, has not been a traditional drop-back pocket passer. No. They have moved the pocket. They have had him on bootlegs and a lot of rollouts. We saw the read option a lot. And you wonder what that means for Dez. I think potentially a Dak Prescott quarterback run maybe better for Ezekiel Elliott because of the way they change the offense and what they do with the quarterback. It does make me worried a little bit for Dez.
For sure.
My my good friend Eric Stoner from he lives in the LA area. He does a lot of great football work. He's on Twitter too. He mentioned, you know, like, is anybody else getting a Russell Wilson circa his rookie year vibe from Dak Prescott in this whole situation? I mean, obviously Tony Romo a little bit better than Matt Flynn. No question about that. But it certainly is a situation where he's establishing himself really well in the preseason, and there's kind of a similar feeling there.
It's going to take an injury for Dak to get.
No question. I mean, there are certainly going to be some lunatics out there that be like, "Hey, what if what if Dak Prescott's better than Tony Romo?"
I'm sure there are some delusional Cowboys.
Oh yeah, search it on Twitter. It's got to be out there. But I mean,
it's got legs right now.
It's just encouraging that we're seeing good backup quarterback play from the Cowboys, because you know Dez was obviously hurt last year, but certainly without question the fact that they just ran out a bunch of bums at the quarterback position as backups last year. This makes you feel better.
I think one of the cool things watching the game last night too is when Zeke is out there, he's such a the defense can't ignore him. He's such a threat. There was that one read option where Dak kept it, and the entire Seahawks defense bit on Zeke running up the middle, and Dak went around the outside and got like 8 yards.
That wasn't because we'll talk about Ezekiel Elliott, I'm sure, but like, you know, the whole time, like, he's just ripping off great run after great run, and I'm like, oh, well, that was a nice little 5 yard gain. I'm like, oh no, Prescott's got the ball.
A couple foolery moves there.
Man, I will tell you, Zeke Elliott, he is the real deal.
He can stud. Fly, man.
He is the real deal. Yeah. 7 carries, 48 yards.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. You know, if you go back and look at the highlights, go to NFL.com, by the way. NFL.com, it's got your highlights for you. But, man, it was incredible what this kid was doing.
Yeah. There were
Was meeting Cam Chancellor head on.
That was one of
That
really made me know, okay, yeah, this is legit. Like, this is really happening. Was him running over Cam Chancellor, and Adam Rank this morning kind of compared it a little bit to Bo Jackson running over Brian Bosworth. So there was that. The other thing about last night that made me believe that this is really happening, on the play where Tony Romo got hurt, it was Zeke Elliott standing in there in pass protection and delivering. I think it was KJ Wright was coming in.
Yeah, he was blowing dudes
and just
up, man.
Blew him up. I mean, I was never worried about his ability as a rusher or even as a pass catcher, but the fact that he was able to lower his shoulders, show some power, and stand in pass protection and do his job, that's what's keeping him on the field for three downs.
For sure.
Well, and listen, there was a lot of talk that, you know, Alfred Morris could factor into this equation, and he looked great in the preseason, but it's just different. You know, it's like with Alfred Morris and even with Darren McFadden last year, it's like this offense is so built to run the ball that these guys can give you great production. They can look really good on the field, but it is just a different thing watching Ezekiel Elliott in that offense run those plays.
He's a different animal.
If you can't see the difference between what Alfred Morris was doing back there and what Ezekiel Elliott did on his first step on an NFL field, like you're not good at watching football. Like that's the bottom line.
Or you've got some kind of bias or something.
Well, it's consistently – just, I mean, if you're still with, like, I can't take him on the first round, I haven't seen him play down in the NFL, just shut up. Just shut up, honestly. Because, look, we just saw him play in the NFL, and I get it's a preseason game, but he was whipping the Seahawks' first-team defense.
Right.
I mean, he was meeting Cam Chancellor.
One of the hottest.
The hottest hitting safeties in the NFL. I mean, just meeting him head-on. And, you know, it was funny, too, because there was a point in that game where it actually felt like a real game, because the Seattle Seahawks defense started getting pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You saw Richard Sherman talking trash.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we were like, oh, okay, this is not a preseason game anymore. Like, this defense is getting shown up by a rookie, and they were pissed.
Yeah, man.
And when they started piling on, I mean, Richard Sherman was taking slightly late hits. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like a real
game. It wasn't even just that they got shown up. I mean, it was that guys like Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman really wanted to give Ezekiel Elliott his welcome to the NFL moment.
For and sure. They did not.
And he basically, and basically said, all right,
made
bring
him
it
look,
on.
Made
let's,
him look silly.
Let's do this.
Let's talk on the other side of the field here.
Yes.
Russell Wilson looked great. That's fine. He's going to be great. You know, he's throwing to different guys, and he looked awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's fine. But here's the thing. We've got the franchise here.
Yes.
We've got the Magical Beard of Fantasy.
I'm here.
Christian Michael, man.
Chris and Michael.
Holy cow. This
Welcome.
Guy just keeps doing it.
Welcome to the awakening.
He just keeps doing it every single week. He's
I know,
ripping he's, off big time runs.
He's going to be a factor. Don't sleep on it. People were tweeting at me yesterday. You're sleeping on Thomas Rawls. Nobody's sleeping on Thomas Rawls.
Right.
What people are sleeping on is Kristen Michael and CJ Procise are both going to have a significant role in this backfield. It's a committee now. Don't take Thomas Rawls in the second or third round like he's Seattle's feature back.
So basically, just forget Seattle running backs.
No,
well, I mean,
no,
stack them
no,
up. The listen. Thing about Rawls, too, is he runs so violently in the way Marshawn Lynch does, it exposes him to injury.
I'm just so
can
sad.
Can we at least say this? Look,
I'm so sad.
I think you can still draft Thomas Rawls
at
his current value. Where's he going? In the fourth round, something like that?
Maybe
I think you can
early,
still
– late third, early fourth at
okay,
this
let's
point.
Say it's late third. Let's say it's in the third. Let's just say it's smack dab in the middle of the third.
Yeah.
Okay? I think you could still take a guy like Thomas Rawls there.
Sure.
But I will say this, though. It's clear Michael is the clear-cut handcuff.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it provides a lot of clarity. And, MG, I know you get sad about it, about a possible committee there in Seattle, but let me give you a little hope, my friend.
Please.
At the very least, you now know – who the clear-cut handcuff is moving forward.
Yay.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a weak consolation prize.
Yeah, it is. It's such a weak consolation prize, especially when, you know, franchise mentions that CJ Procise is still potentially hanging around there, too.
Oh, he'll be there.
He looked good
things.
Last night, too.
He was in on
– I don't deny any of their talent. I don't deny that any of them have looked good, or at least, you know, what we've seen out of Michael and a little bit out of Procise. That makes me even more – upset because, you know, it's just what I just don't.
Well, here's how I think the backfield is going to work. I think that Rawls is going to come in, and I think for at least 1 week they will split carries. But I think moving forward, I really do think it will be Rawls.
Rawls will be the starter.
I think Rawls will be the starter. I do think that he's going to get the bulk of the carries just because, again, that's just how they've run this offense.
Yeah.
And Marcus, you know, even Pete Carroll going back to his USC days, he didn't rotate guys in and out. He might have rotated them in and out of games.
Right. I mean,
but
I think the
within
only
a game, he liked to go with one
the
game.
Only actual rotation I think he ever ran that I can recall was the Reggie Bush, Lindale White.
Yeah, but even then, it wasn't even so much a rotation. They just had such a different skill set.
No, and agreed.
They were on the field at the same time a lot.
Right.
Except for that fourth down.
I'm just sad.
In the Rose Bowl.
Stop. I don't want to talk about it.
Can we talk about Tyler Lockett real quick? Because this is something that I think has been developing throughout the preseason. This comes from Adam Levitan, who is a great follow on Twitter, Adam Levitan. He's been tracking a lot of the preseason snaps. He reports that Russell Wilson has now played 75 preseason snaps. The top three wide receiver snap counts during that time, Doug Baldwin, 68, Jermaine Kearse, 53, and Tyler Lockett, 38. This is something that a lot of people have been tweeting me about, and I think it's fair to address that if Lockett's going to be, you know, a 60% snap player or something like that in an offense that is still going to be based around the run game.
Right.
You know, perhaps this is a player that we might need to approach with caution at his current draft price, which his ADP is still in the seventh round, and I think that's totally fine. Obviously, those aggressive projections that you and I gave in that reception perception video certainly look like a more
– not quite
get well,
there.
That's why they're more like a down-the-line thing, you know?
Sure.
I think the talent is still undeniable with Lockett. He looked great last night when he got targets. He had the one touchdown catch from Russell Wilson.
Which is the most Russell Wilson play I've seen
ever.
Absolutely.
Time. Absolutely.
And he runs around for like 5 minutes, and then he finds Tyler Lockett.
Right, basically, out. Like you're playing someone in Madden
pretty
with the Seahawks.
Yes.
We would like to think that this is like a talent creates opportunity situation, and I think that they love Jermaine Kearse as a blocking receiver and two wide receiver sets, which is why he got re-signed, which is why he's ahead of Tyler Lockett in preseason snap counts. But this is a team that is going to rotate their receivers. I just think this makes Lockett probably this year more of like – a boom-bust wide receiver three on a week-to-week basis.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, kudos to you because, you know, it's hard to sometimes, you know, divest yourself of, you know, your emotions, right?
Yeah.
Because you're high on Tyler Lockett. I'm high on Tyler Lockett, but here's the thing. We've seen enough preseason games now to know guys like Jermaine Kearse, they're going to get work.
Right.
Yeah. We saw Paul Richardson catch a touchdown.
Paul Richardson,
yeah, he's back.
He played 14 snaps to Lockett, 16 last night.
So he's going to get work. So, again, kudos to you, man, because, like, honestly, it is hard to sometimes back off of aggressive projections on guys that you like. And I've been there.
Right.
And so it's hard, but you know, you're right.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's not a thing where, like, we're low on Lockett's ability. And I mean, reception perception is all about illuminating ability, not projecting who's going to get targets or who's going to get snaps.
Right.
So, you know, it's that kind of situation that we're in right now. And we're, you know, again, hopefully talent creates opportunity for fantasy perspective. But I think this is a situation where you can't roll into the fantasy season with Lockett as a wide receiver too, or something like that.
I would agree with that. All right, let's go to Atlanta, taking on Miami. here's the thing. The run game is not looking great in Miami. It's not looking great, but can we say Arian Foster is the clear-cut number one guy in Miami? Here's the thing. J.J. 7 carries, 11 yards. Arian Foster, not that great either. 5 carries for 10 yards, but he did have a pretty nice, smooth touchdown run.
Yeah, he beat one guy at the goal line. I think people are overreacting.
He had a
decent cut.
He looked like Arian Foster.
You guys are all freaking out about Arian Foster, and I'm just
not freaking out about him, but he looked significantly better than Jay Ajayi did. The offense looked significantly more efficient when Foster was on the field. I still don't want either part. I don't want any part of this backfield. Like, let's get that clear. But the difference between the two of them, I mean, playing with the starters, both playing against first-team defenses – it was night and day yesterday.
Yeah, but the Miami offensive line did not do Ajayi any favors. There were a lot of missed assignments by that O-line when Ajayi was getting his carries. He showed a cool spin move, I think, late in the second quarter, but that he got back to the line of scrimmage and, like, broke 3 tackles just to get back to the line of scrimmage.
I mean, conspiracy theory?
Okay. Hit me.
Maybe the O-line just doesn't like Ajayi as much as they like Foster.
They looked like they were not trying. Like, they did not care.
Let's not forget, this is the same team that had a weird bullying scandal with its offensive linemen not that long ago. And I know a lot of those players aren't there anymore, but I don't know. Maybe they just don't. I mean, I'm spitballing here. I'm just making things up. But, you know, maybe. Who knows?
The other important takeaway for me is that Ajayi can catch the ball, which people flipped out about in that report in minicamp.
That was nice.
He has
to
some
see.
Drops. And the other thing is, Adam Gase said earlier this summer, I think before they added Arian Foster, is they wanted their running back to play a bell cow type role. Whatever the guy is that's in there, they want him out there for all 3 downs.
That's great.
That's how they used Foster and Ajayi. They did not rotate Ajayi in or
good point.
Foster in on 3rd down.
That's a good point.
It was they split series.
Yeah.
So. And Foster was targeted heavily in the red zone. I think he saw 2 targets and 3 or 4 rush attempts there. He got the touchdown.
I don't disagree that they'll rotate these guys through series. But but what you're basically telling me is that J.J. is done. Is that what you're basically?
That's not what I'm saying. That's what I think you guys are saying.
I think that's what you're.
I think we saw different things.
I mean, Dunn is aggressive. I mean, we knew that he's a good pass catcher. He caught 50 passes in his final year at Boise State. Like, this is
right.
This isn't like a LeGarrette Blount, Alfred Morris type of player that just straight up can't catch the football.
No.
And your point about them rotating series is well taken. You know, if Foster gets hurt, if Foster is to suffer an injury. Ajayi would assume a lot of touches, I guess. But, you know, the ghost of Isaiah Pete is out there, too, making some plays and playing with the first-team offense.
Damian Williams got work, man. Getting work.
So I don't know that Ajayi is a guy that's like, well, if Foster gets hurt, then he's just going to start seeing 20 touches a game. I don't know. I probably just want to avoid this entire offense in general.
It's going to be a weird committee.
I'm starting to feel a lot better about Arian Foster, and I'll tell you right now, man. I'll tell you right now, Jay Ajayi, just I'm bumping him off my draft board entirely.
But
I'll push him outside the – actually, I take that back. I'm pushing him outside the 150.
Foster goes in the 5th round. His ADP's in the 5th round. I mean,
that's
berserk.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah, that's berserk. No, that's crazy. Well, look, I'll tell you this. I play in a – I play in a 12-team and a 14-team league.
Yeah.
And you know, and then, of course, I play in these 10-team leagues here at work. But, you know, we're all pretty tied in to the whole fantasy game. He's not going anywhere near that draft price, even in a 12,
right.
even in a 14-team league, I don't think he's going to be going fifth round in the league that I play in. So I would expect to see him there if you're playing in a sharper league. I'd probably expect to see him there round 7, round 8.
And you're comfortable there?
I think round 8, I'm pretty darn comfortable. If I'm on the ends and I feel like I got to reach for the guy, maybe I reach for him in round 7. I don't know. But, you know, again, I'm pretty comfortable with him there, just given the upside. Given the upside. But Jay Ajayi, he's done.
Ajayi is not done. They need his young legs. Foster made some nice cuts, but he's clearly slower than.
All right, we're talking in circles about the backfield.
Yes. Any takeaways regarding Ryan Tannehill? Maybe Matt Ryan, who looked terrible again.
I don't want either of them.
I believe
a franchise referred to Matt Ryan Tannehill earlier yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
And Freeman had nowhere to run. They rotated Coleman in on third and longs.
Yeah.
It's going to be
a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, a little bit of a mess.
Listen, is there
at least in the preseason?
Can we talk about DeVante Parker too? And I think this warrants our very first use of a drop that we created earlier. I mean, if you're drafting DeVante Parker right now, you got to be letting this one out.
It's the Deke Shriek.
Right.
The Deke Shriek.
I mean, so last night in the first half, wide receiver snap counts on two wide receiver sets. This comes from Pro Football Focus's Nathan Jenke, who's another great follow on Twitter. He tracks snap counts like in all the primetime games during the regular season. 7 snaps for Kenny Stills, 7 snaps for Jarvis Landry, 0 for DeVante Parker in 2 wide receiver sets.
Uh-oh.
And Parker doesn't look good. Like, that's the thing. It'd be one thing if he's playing, you know, not a lot of snaps and he doesn't look good out there, but this is something I've been talking about for a while now.
I mean, heard zero buzz.
Right.
Zero buzz regarding DeVante Parker.
Can anybody formulate – well, first of all, yeah, let me just say, like, I've been talking about this for a while now. Like, he doesn't get off press coverage well. He struggles at the catch point, you know, consistently. Obviously, he makes highlight reel catches. He will make highlight reel catches this year. But there is no reason to think that he's ready to be a consistent threat in this offense or useful for fantasy. Can anybody – make a case for him being a single-digit round pick in fantasy?
No. Not drafting him there.
No, he's a double-digit guy.
I've been down on him for a while. I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
I mean, he needs to slip to like. There's not a ton of difference right now between a guy like DeVante Parker and Devin Funchess. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, except Devin Funchess plays with a good quarterback.
At this point,
Flames.
Only thing I'm looking at out of Miami is Jarvis Landry. And maybe I take a late round flyer on Kenny Stills.
Yeah, are we sleeping on Stills? That's Nobody's talking about this guy.
I think he's a pretty perfect, you know, MFL 10. Well, those are over now, so never mind. I'll just shut up. But I think like in weeks, I don't know how
he'll have a pop.
I don't know how you're going to predict them.
Yeah,
typical these deep threats. But he's going to matter this year. And just
Leonte Carew still developing. Yeah. This guy Yakeem Grant is a burner as well. So. You know, it's interesting. They got a lot of guys that can do different things in the wide receiving core. They just don't have one guy that could do everything. That's the problem.
Yeah, I feel like the Dolphins' offense might just be bad.
Yeah, just avoid. I mean, honestly, just all out of void. I think Landry's fourth round ADP right now is more than fair, but still, I just doesn't excite me.
Like I said, you know, it's interesting though because their defense is so bad that something on the offense is going to click. Something. It's got – I mean –
Does it have to?
I mean, doesn't it? if their defense is that bad?
I mean, it doesn't have to.
I mean, I know they only give up 6 points to the Falcons, but still. I mean,
Aaron Foster's back might click.
Oh.
Rude.
Okay, all right. We're moving on. What else are we talking about here? Where was I going with that?
I don't know. I mean, Julio Jones tweaked an ankle. Nothing to worry about.
That's what it was. Yeah.
We're all good.
All right, let's talk about the AFC.
Freaked out about that.
No, yeah, exactly. That's where I was going to go. Julio Jones tweaked an ankle, but no big deal. Don't worry about it. He's good. AFC South, let's talk about the Texans. Lamar Miller, Nuke Hopkins. You know, people have been asking me about Lamar Miller in the first round. You guys comfortable? I'm not.
I'm not, but.
You're telling me he's going to be a top 10 player in this?
So I think what started a lot of this, and I maybe a little bit bought into it, and maybe I threw a log on this fire too. I don't know. All this talk from admittedly anonymous scouts,
okay,
but saying that Lamar Miller is set up to have a season for the ages, that what they want to do with him combined with his ability, the fact that he will probably get the requisite number of touches we always hoped he would get in Miami, sets him up for huge production this year. Of course, that was also before they lose their starting center. Nick Martin that for hurts. The entirety of the year.
Their left tackle, Dwayne Brown, also might not start the year.
So, I mean, you know, I think this is all before they started having some issues along the offensive line. Now, that said, I still think he's a top five running back. I mean, it surprised me yesterday when I was going through numbers and realized that he was the RB6 in fantasy last year.
Yeah.
Just didn't, you know, I thought he had a good year. I didn't think he had that good of a year.
Well, it's because
I mean,
he had that one game.
He had the one game against the Texans.
He had like a stretch where he was a blow-up guy.
Yeah, that huge game against the Texans where he pretty much did all his work in the first half.
And plus a position group died last year.
Right. That too. But I do think he is in position to be a top five running back this year. And so I think that at least certainly in 12 or 14 team leagues gives him – consideration to be a first round pick. Maybe he's not a first round pick, but he's at least the guy that you're thinking about at the back end there.
And I've always said too, you know, if you're picking on the ends, you gotta go get your guy.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, if you're high on Lamar Miller and let's say you grade him as a mid or low second rounder, but you're sitting there at pick number 10 or 12, and what are you gonna do? You know?
Yeah, I mean,
and you like him.
I think
you know,
he'll
it's like you're gonna have to go get him. So there you go.
Yeah, he'll be fine as an RB1.
All right. Will Fuller, Jalen Strong. This kind of makes me sad, man. Like, you know, Jalen Strong kind of came on in the OTAs, and we were hearing about great reports. They obviously spent a pretty high draft pick on Jalen Strong. His college tape tells you this guy can absolutely play. His combine numbers were super solid. Came into camp out of shape last year, but this year they were talking about him being refocused, in shape, all of those things. I was getting super excited about Jalen Strong.
I know how much you loved him last year, too.
Oh, my gosh, I was so big on him. I didn't realize that he came into camp that out of shape, though. But now they kind of have a crowded – wide receiving core, Will Fuller, Jalen Strong there. Braxton Miller's going to make some plays every now and again. You know, again, going back to you kind of have to kind of come off of your block sometimes.
Yeah.
Jalen Strong, to me, you know, again, not draftable dude. And he's just being rotated in and out too much with Will Fuller. But, you know, I'll tell you this. With that deep group of receivers, does this knock DeAndre Hopkins a little bit?
I mean, I've been saying he's overvalued from the jump as a top 10 pick in fantasy. I think he's a good pick around the turn. But, yeah, I mean, Will Fuller's clearly the two. He's been running there throughout the entire preseason. Braxton Miller's getting a ton of burn in the slot. So, like you mentioned, Jalen Strong's just the straight-up backup to DeAndre Hopkins. He'd have great value if Hopkins was to go down. But, you know, this and Steven Anderson, interesting deep, deep sleeper to monitor there. His undrafted tight end out of Cal. And Josh Norris, a big fan of his. He's been beating the drum for him for a long, long time. And I like what I've seen in the preseason. He's got pretty much exclusively run with the preseason run with first team last preseason game.
Obviously, I'm high on Anderson, but, I mean, come on, the target share.
Well, no. I'm not saying that he's going to matter, but I just, like, you know, maybe it was like a DFS play some week or whatever.
Go.
But I'm just saying, like, the options in this offense are growing, and we know they want to run the ball. They were first and fifth in O'Brien's 2 years. They have also played fast, though. Last year they were first in plays run. They were eighth in plays run the year before. So opportunity is going to be in there in this offense, but I struggle to – I mean, I literally can't tell myself a story where DeAndre Hopkins is going to see 190 targets again.
I can't see it either. If this, especially if this defense is going to be a lot better than
right.
than they were last year.
Well, we always talk like regressions, everybody's favorite word of the year, but like we already saw the regression take place with DeAndre Hopkins in the second half of last year after producing wild numbers in the first half.
It's true.
He came
and
back.
They started
down,
running the football.
Right when they started winning. That's the thing. Like, and you can actually point to a thing in their team outlook where hey, they got better when they started playing this style of football and DeAndre Hopkins started playing this style of wide receiver. Not a guy that was seeing, you know, 14 targets a game, but maybe more just like 10.
You know, the thing is, you know, a lot of times in the first round, you're drafting talent level. And what I'm seeing is that D-Hop, and of course I love D-Hop, right? But it's like a lot of folks are saying, hey, maybe D-Hop is a possible top five guy. And, you know, I look at that varied offense, and I think about the run game. I think about the defense, and I just – And it's not like Brock Osweiler is this guy that's going to say, you know what, forget the play call. I'm going to sling this rock 50 times today.
Right.
He's not that guy.
If he's slinging the rock 50 times, things have gone bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all there is to it. Things have gone bad.
They don't want to play that style of football. No, like 0% they want to play.
No, to your point, man, you're right. I can't see myself – I can't convince myself that D-Hop is a top eight pick. I just can't do it.
Yeah. No.
But I'll take him in the first round based off of talent if I'm there at pick 9 or 10.
I think, yeah, if I'm there at the turn, depending on who else has gone there, because, you know, we talked about Lamar Miller in the first round earlier, really the only running back that I feel 100% comfortable in taking the first round is David Johnson. Ezekiel Elliott would be the guy in this latter half of the first round. So if a bunch of receivers have gone off the board and those two running backs are off the board, then I'm starting to weigh, you know, Dez Bryant and DeAndre Hopkins. But I think guys like Keenan Allen have more of an outlook to reproduce the season that Hopkins had last year than he does.
I'll tell you what, I'll take Zeke at 5. I'll take him there.
I got Zeke, by the way, it's a humble brag. I got Zeke at 10 in my record draft last year.
Watch out.
That was cool.
Again, when you're picking 5, you ain't going to get Zeke back.
No.
You like him, go get him. Colts, Andrew Luck is going a little later in drafts than I anticipated. I thought he'd still climb back into that round 4 range, but we're starting to see him on NFL.com going around 6 or 7. To me, that's tremendous value, no?
Yeah, definitely. People are just scared from what happened last year.
Is he a top 4 quarterback in fantasy next year or this coming season?
Top 4?
I have him at 5. I have it as Newton, or I mean Rodgers, Newton, Wilson, Breeze, Luck.
I could put Luck. I mean, I could flip-flop Luck and Breeze partially
because
the Colts defense could challenge to be one of the worst in the league, which means they're going to have to throw the ball.
They're
going to
challenge the Saints, though, for the worst.
Well, that's true. I mean, which is why you can flip-flop those two and have them kind of be interchangeable. So, I think so. Again, my thing with Andrew Luck is I just want to see him protect the football better.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of turnovers.
He's the early leader for the Mark Bulger Award.
He can run the ball, too.
Yeah.
He gets a couple rushing touchdowns every year, which adds a little bit of value there. So,
all right, let me ask you this. Higher ceiling,
yeah,
T.Y. Hilton or Dante Moncrief?
Higher ceiling? Hilton.
Yeah, I'd say Hilton.
Wow.
Because of the big playability.
I mean, I don't know. I think they both have
It's far and away T.Y. Hilton. Like, I don't believe that.
I actually think Moncrief's got the higher ceiling.
I mean,
first of all, look, can I just say this? I'm ridiculously high on Dante Moncrief. I think he's got the higher floor and the higher ceiling.
I mean, I know he was your March to 1100.
I know, and he let me down.
It's not your fault, James.
Hey,
it's not your fault.
All right.
It's not
Stop
your fault.
It. I'm going to start crying and hugging you later.
It's not your fault.
All right, pal.
I think he definitely has the higher. I mean, I'm right there with you on Moncrief, James. I have him as my wide receiver 19 in fantasy, and I think that's being conservative, to be honest with you. That's like his floor. This offense is going to push for the lead league in pass attempts. There is a 0.0% chance that Moncrief is going to see less than 120 targets.
Agreed.
With the other options available in the offense.
Yep.
Both were already on pace for over 120 when Luck was under center. Moncrief actually had more catches than Hilton did when Luck was under center. And he was on pace for double-digit touchdowns. I mean, this guy already broke out last year. I've written what feels like 100 pieces on that already this offseason. So, like, to me, he's a fourth round.
But from a statistical standpoint, though, he kind of didn't, though. I mean, less than 1,000
yards. Oh, no. Yeah. But that was a situation where his quarterback.
The touchdowns were great.
His quarterback was playing below expectations. But if you look at, like, what he did in terms of his reception perception, he's a complete player at this point. So that's what I'm saying. Like, people might not know he broke out last year because of the numbers, but he broke out last year.
I have no data to back this up, but am I right to say that Moncrief is more of a red zone threat than Hilton would be?
Yes. There's no question.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No question.
So I think that
– bigger, stronger guy
and
just as fast.
Right.
I mean, that's what's that's what's crazy to me is that I know that T.Y. Hilton's been doing it longer.
Right.
And I get that. But listen, like the athletic profile for Dante Moncrief in this offense, he can do things that T.Y. Hilton can't do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know that T.Y. Hilton can do things that Dante Moncrief can't do. So that's why I'm saying to me, look, at their respective prices, there's no way I would much rather have Dante Moncrief at their respective prices.
I think Moncrief is a early fourth round pick, and I'm not.
He doesn't have the name value, which is why he's slipping.
Right. But I think, like, if you take him in the fourth round, you can feel totally okay with that. I was tempted. I'm in, like, a sharps league with a bunch of guys from Roto World and across the industry right now, and we're doing, like, a slow
– humble brag.
What?
Hello.
What do you mean? This is not the first time that's happened. Any of you bros could get it. Whatever. I'm not addressing
it. It's so easy. Just shake him.
You're a bro.
I'm sure. I get shook pretty easily.
That was too easy.
But like I was at the top of the second round, and I knew Moncrief was not going to come back around to me in the third round because I knew Davis Maddock, who we had on this podcast, was going to take him at the top of the third. Yeah. Sure enough, he did. Ugh. I was really tempted to take him in that second round.
Whoa.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah. That's crazy talk.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's a guy that I think is going to break out this year. But well, I ended up taking Adrian Peterson. It's like,
okay, fine. Frank Gore, he's ancient. He's he's 47 years old.
Yep. Accurate.
and I'll say this. I love Frank Gore as a player. The dude has put up 12 consecutive seasons of 1,200 scrimmage yards or more.
What?
12 yep. consecutive. He yep. has not missed a game in 5 seasons.
That is crazy. Right.
This is it's insane. To me, he's one of the most underrated NFL players of all time. That being said, somebody I put that out on Twitter. He's like, "When are you taking him, bro?" I'm like, "I'm not touching him in fantasy."
I'm with you.
But I'm giving the man his due.
Yeah.
He's amazing. That being said, where do you take a guy like Frank Gore? Obviously, you're uncomfortable taking him wherever you take him, just given the age. But where do you take him?
What, 8th, 9th?
7th, 6th. I think he's bottom of the 6th round pick. Yeah. Depending on your team structure, too.
The thing about Gore is, like, he's one of those last starting running backs you can get in the middle rounds.
Stalwarts like at that you know you're going to
yeah,
get.
Yeah, he's going to get the volume. He's going to get the goal line work. At that point, you're left with, like, secondary guys who are, you know, pass-catching backs or handcuffs or whatever you want to call them. But,
right.
So he presents a value in that way, but I just don't know how much upside he brings.
I mean, I have been a Frank Gore champion for years.
Okay.
But even right now, I look at him with so much trepidation.
Yeah.
I'm worried that this is the year of the breakdown. And there's no one, there's really nobody in that backfield that's going to be able to spell him. Josh Ferguson's not the guy.
I don't understand.
They're talking about Robert Turbin now as the number two.
I don't understand in a draft that was so deep at running back
why
this team did not address the running back position.
I don't know. Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly would feel better if I knew there was a guy that would come in every so often and be able to give him rest on a consistent basis. I guess I'd feel a little bit better about it, but
yeah.
I love Frank Gore. I do. And I want to see him. Like, I will start a petition to see him in the Hall of Fame because I think he's been that good for that long.
100%.
Yeah.
But
100%.
This year, I can't.
He had 260 carries last year. That's a lot for a guy his age. He's 33 years old coming into this season. This is the big-time warning sign, right? The big red flag, 3.7 yards per carry for Frank Gore last year. It's the first time he's ever dipped below 4.
Their offensive line was horrible last year.
Yeah, and their
too.
Offensive line. Look, Pep Hamilton is. Yeah. I know he's supposed to be a great O line running backs type dude, but no, he wasn't a good offensive coordinator. And I think this offense could be on the rise, but will Frank Gore be there to ride that train? I just don't know.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of question marks. All right, for me, like I said, I'm probably if he's there in round 9, I'm comfortable, but he'll be gone by then, I think. The Jaguars, Allen Robinson, first round pick, top 10 player.
I'm warming up to A-Rob at the back end of the first round.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't see how he gets past pick 12.
If drafts go like I think they're going to go, which would be the top 3 receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then in some order, Todd Gurley, AJ Green, David Johnson. He's the clear next pick, and I would obviously take him over Gurley, no question about it. So he's the 6th overall player.
Do you take him over Ezekiel Elliott?
Right. Yes.
Man.
No question.
So high.
Wow. Well, see, I keep going back to what I did last night. I had the turnaround pick in a 10-team draft. 10-11, I went Zeke 10 and A-Rob 11. I mean, dude, I could have.
I love that.
I could have easily interchanged.
I love that.
Whatever,
star.
But I went
That's
Zeke awesome. And A-Rob.
I love
you know,
that.
At 10 star. And 11 right there.
That's awesome.
I absolutely love that start. I'll tell you this. One of the most overdrafted players in fantasy, in my mind, is Allen Hurts.
Yeah, I like Allen Hurns as a player a lot, but he's
double-digit touchdowns last year. I get it.
He's going in the fifth round.
That's absurd.
And you know, some of the target research that I did for the article I just put up a week or so ago. I don't even know what I don't know. I've lost track of time completely. But he's one of those outlier guys that was a wide receiver, a top 24 wide receiver, despite seeing less than 120 targets, and he did it. Because of his touchdown rate, which was almost 10% of his targets went for touchdowns.
I'm not saying he's Ted Ginn, but he's got much better hands and a way like actual real football player, much better actual real football player. But I'm talking about those opportunities.
Yeah.
You know. And again, will he see double digit touchdowns next year? I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
And this is the thing to keep in mind as well. And the reason I'm saying do not take this dude in the fifth round. Forget about the touchdown dependency on touchdowns. Just his injury history alone scares me off the fifth round. We're going all the way back not only to his days at Miami, but he suffered like season-ending injuries in high school. So he's got again a ridiculously long injury history going all the way back to high school. So I just have concerns there. And again, we kind of, you know, we talk about those pop seasons or whatever it might be. Allen Hurts to me had that pop season last year. Yeah. I hope he's there. I hope he plays all 16. He's a good player. He was a very good player, very productive player on the field when he was on the field at Miami, but I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it.
I think, and I know we're going to get to Julius Thomas in a bit, but I think that's the guy that you're worried about if you're Allen Hurts.
Thank you.
For sure.
Right.
That's a good point.
Because Thomas wasn't a factor for at least 5 or 6
weeks.
It took
him a while.
He was hurt at the start of the year.
Yeah. And you could,
he was out of shape, clearly.
You could watch him still trying to find his place in that offense for a lot of weeks. But I think he's found it, and I think he's going to be a huge red zone target.
There's reports of him working with Blake Bortles in the offseason. He's in much better shape this year. He's supposed to be healthy, and keep in mind he's coming from that offense, right? He was coming from a Denver offense that was so different than what he saw with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're seeing Julius Thomas going the double digit rounds, man.
Yeah, you can get him real late.
Let's not talk about it.
But that's our job.
I think the talent level is still there. Look, you know, people ask about the tight end position all the time, franchise.
Yeah,
and like, you know, I'm never gonna draft Gronk.
Nope.
Again, mostly because there's so much talent that you could have in the double-digit rounds of tight end.
Yeah, I'm waiting as long as I can to get a tight end. I have my guys that I want to target, Zach Miller, Jared Cook, a guy like Julius Thomas. They're all going to be around in the 12th, 13th rounds.
Right.
Just wait on tight end. That's my plan.
Blake Bortles was a top-5 fantasy quarterback last year. Does he do it again?
Top 5 seems a bit rich.
Yeah.
I mean, I have him just pulling up my rankings right now, my tiers. I have my tiers.
We just did that mock for Periscope for Fantasy Draft Week. I don't think Blake Bortles was drafted at all.
Yeah, but pretty much every team only took one quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it wouldn't surprise me if he, like, so I have him at quarterback 17, and that seems a little bit conservative. But you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he's a top 12 quarterback. You know, he's got great touchdown producers. That's the thing. And he can run the ball, too.
It's true.
He brings a steady floor. Quarterback 17, probably a little bit aggressive, but there's just so many good quarterbacks out there.
Did he lead the league in interceptions last year?
Yes, he did. It took until week 17 for him to get there.
All right. To beat up Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning held on to that for a long time.
but
Bortles did get there eventually.
You look at that interception that interception number, and then you look at the fact that his completion percentage was below 60%. Those are a lot of red flags, man.
Yeah.
A lot.
But all those interceptions ended up leading to a lot of touchdown passes because
Robin
Hurns. That was the reason they were playing from behind in a lot of cases.
I mean, that's one of the great things about Blake Bortles is, like, he is a guy that has gotten pummeled the last couple of years. He's taken a ton of hits. But unlike players like, you know, Sam Bradford or David Carr or whatever, he hasn't gone into a shell. You know, he's just a guy that like he's like Brett Favre. He has no conscience for anything that's going on around him, which brings a lot of good and bad things. You know,
well, he's a big boy.
Yeah, he's big. He's a built dude.
Yeah, he's a big boy. So no one believes in Blake Bortles repeating as a top 5, right? No,
I don't think so.
I don't think he'll be top 5.
No.
But I think.
Okay, fine. How about will he be a top 10 guy?
I have him at 11. So
I don't even have him in my top 10 either.
It would be, I mean, this quarterback position is just so deep. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if any of the guys, like, even down to, like, the I would should probably bump him up into tier four. But like any of the guys from tier four to tier one, if any of those guys finishes top 10.
All right, let's go to the Titans. What do you do with Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray?
I'm trying to draft Derrick Henry in every league that I can.
Dude, are you?
Derrick Henry is so good.
I think by halfway into the season, he's just going to be a beast.
He looks like a monster.
Yeah.
He's so good.
It seems to be happening sooner. I mean, I thought that by midway through the season, we'd be talking about him getting on the field more, but now coaches are already talking about how they're trying to get Derrick Henry on the field as much as possible early on.
Yeah, but I mean, what are they going to do with DeMarco Murray? They're not going to just discard him.
God, no. They should, though. I mean,
wow.
No,
wow.
I think DeMarco Murray will have a bounce back.
Coming in hot, Matt Harmon.
I don't. I have Murray like absurdly low in my running back rankings, but I just can't find like a good reason to draft him. You know, he goes. He's stupid high.
He's going too high. That's
the thing.
He's
like a fourth round pick on Fantasy Football Calculator. Get all the way the hell out of here.
That's the thing.
That's ridiculous. I mean, Derrick Henry is going to be the better player by the end of the season. No question. He looks incredible. He gets the edge. He actually looks pretty good as a receiver. I think he is like the plus version of LeGarrette Blount, and everybody hates LeGarrette Blount, but Blount's a good running back who was going to be a top first round pick in the NFL draft before he punched that guy from Boise State in the face.
Oh, jeez.
Byron Hout, by the way. That's the answer to that trivia.
Unfortunately, I only ever remember him as dude that LeGarrette Blount
punched
out
in the face.
But,
yeah.
But Blount's been a productive NFL player, so I don't think it's a slanderous comparison. And like Henry's just something that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, he looks like Brandon Jacobs, but he does not look
so
Brandon.
Much
does
better.
Look
so
like
much
Brandon
quicker
Jacobs
for his size.
More lateral movement.
Yeah.
More lateral movement.
He's a freak. And I mean, they're gonna run the ball when they're not losing, but they're gonna be losing a lot. And I don't know. I like Derrick Henry. And because
Henry's going in the double digit rounds, right?
I think like 7th, 8th round.
No,
in 12 team leagues.
Really?
Yeah,
that's too high.
He's creeping up.
That's too high. That's too high. There's too many good players still on the
board. But I mean, around that on Fantasy Football Calculator in that range, it's Ameer Abdullah, Derrick Henry, LeGarrette Blount, Justin Forsett.
Well, keep going. What
Danny Woodhead, Deion
yeah, give
Lewis.
Me him. Give me, okay, no.
Jay Ajayi, TJ Yeldon.
No, no.
Crowell, Sims,
God,
Coleman.
Man. Well, Crowell for sure, but gosh, you list off that. That's not a great list.
Right.
Okay, so maybe so.
I'm not really excited, like, as much as I'm gushing about Derrick Henry over here, and I think he's going to be great, you know, a potential, like, total steal in next year's drafts. I don't think this team's ready to quit Dexter McCluster either.
Oh, God. Why'd you say
no,
it?
No, listen.
Get this guy out of here.
Look. The coaching staff gave him the team captain role last year. They like him a lot.
They like him. He's gonna catch passes. I don't think either one of Henry or DeMarco is going to catch enough passes to give you a week-to-week floor.
Yeah.
But I have Henry ranked over Murray. I expect him to take the lead back role by the end of the year. And if I'm
sure,
like, I'm going to draft DeMarco on zero.
Yeah, zero teams.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's not draft, especially given his price.
Yeah,
no
yeah, that's fourth round.
I think even on NFL.com, I think he's even going, like let's say he goes in the seventh round even. I'm not looking at DeMarco Murray in the seventh round.
I wouldn't. Right. I don't even know if I'd take him, like, in the 10th round.
Nah, come on.
I know that sounds stupid.
No, you would definitely take him in the 10th round.
But I would just rather take somebody I'm actually excited to. Like, I hate to pick guys on my team where I'm like, all right, I guess you forced me to pick him. Like, this is supposed to be fun, and I don't think having DeMarco Murray on your fantasy team
is
fun.
He is still a starting running back in the National
Exactly.
Football League. And if he's there in the 10th round.
Like I said, man, I think this thing is supposed to be fun, and I'm not going to have any fun picking Murray.
But you were talking about you're talking about taking Frank Gore in, like, the 6th or 7th round.
But there's nobody else to take work from Frank Gore. There's two guys to take work from DeMarco Murray. And the Colts are actually at least going to be decent.
I mean, I get all that. Terrible. I get all that. We're talking about 10th round is not a lot of draft capital to spend.
I know it's
on
not. I know it's not. And I know that's I'm sure he's a steal there, whatever. But
I just feel like you're posturing. Right
I'm now. Not posturing. I'm just not. I'm just like, don't want to do it. You can't make me.
Tajay Sharp. I know you know a guy that you would spend a 10th round pick on, Tajay Sharp.
I don't know about a 10th round pick, but
can I tell you I'm
in
getting
the 11th,
excited.
12th round, I'm excited. I'm really excited about Tajay Sharp.
I'm getting Tajay Sharp.
I think he's not on the radar in a lot of like casual leagues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you
yeah,
can
no.
get him like
yeah.
14th, 15th
oh,
round
yeah,
as your last pick.
Oh, easy.
So
if,
we were
if you're yeah. playing in one of those 10 team casual leagues,
yeah.
He will be there in the 15th round.
Yeah, yeah.
He will be there 100% for sure.
Gelhar and I drafted a league with his friends from college that all live out here, and you know, we were going through the draft rankings and everything, and I'm like, I go all the way down to like 340, and I'm like, oh my God, Tajay Sharpe's all the way down there. We really gotta fix that. But you know, at the same time, I'm like, yeah, he's absurdly low in draft rankings across the industry. He is a guy that a lot of casual people don't know. So for sure, total steal.
Here's the thing: he's 6'2", 200 pounds. He's got incredibly small hands, which I think is what dropped him down quite a bit. His hands 8.38 inch.
Yeah, and they were like 7.3 at the NFL or at the East West Shrine Game.
No.
Yeah, they were, but then they like grew or something.
Oh, well, weird. Okay, I don't know. I don't get it. But that's still incredibly small. Anything less than 9 is pretty small.
Yeah.
But again, you look at the size, and then this, you know, and I thought coming out of UMass, a kid, you know, who's 6'2", 200 pounds coming out of UMass, I'm like, ah, he must be slow, but a good route runner. Well, he's a good route runner, and then he's got good speed. He runs a 4.55 40. That's not slow by any stretch of the imagination, especially for a guy who's 6'2".
Yeah.
I think what we've seen in the preseason as well, and again, we talk about drumbeat a lot on this podcast. There's been so much positive news and such a positive drumbeat surrounding Tajay Sharpe.
Yeah.
So much so that they traded away DGB.
Yeah, they were saying months ago that Sharpe was pushing DGB. Remember that report?
Yeah,
and everyone's like, round pick.
I think months ago it was used to try to be a motivational tactic, and then it turned out that
actually,
it wasn't motivating
real.
Anymore.
Right. But now we realize that this was real.
Mm-hmm. I mean, tell me this guy doesn't have the athletic profile to really explode this year.
I don't know. He's not a great athlete or anything, but he's a great route runner, a really good technician, and was insanely productive in college.
But I mean, but see, that I would disagree with you. Is that I think he is a good athlete at 6'2", 200 pounds, and running a 4.55 40. That's legit. I mean, he doesn't have the strength, obviously, of some of the true beasts in the NFL, but his athletic profile is not bad at all.
And
you combine that with the route running, again, that you've mentioned ad nauseum, Matt Harmon, I like him.
Yeah.
I fear that we're starting to get a little over the moon on Tajay Sharpe.
I mean, come on. He's still going to double-digit rounds. I'm not saying go single digits.
Yeah,
on
we were saying 14, 15 rounds.
Yeah.
That's not good.
As a flyer, upside type guy.
In terms of athletic profile.
Harmon basically picked up his laptop and is showing it to James.
He's showing me the spider web of athleticism, and it's not great.
It's not great. That's what I'm saying. He's not a great measured athlete.
Let's also keep in mind that this wide receiver draft class was not considered to be great. There were a handful of guys at the top of it.
Right.
You know, the Treadwells, the Shepherds, the Colemans.
Yep.
You know, maybe the Dachshunds, who were supposed to be, you know, kind of standouts. The rest of it was supposed to be great. We're talking about Tajay Sharpe, who was sort of overlooked and was he fifth-round pick? I mean, this is a guy that wasn't necessarily highly coveted. So let's
–
I mean, he's a flyer. He's a dart throw at the end of your draft, and that's kind of it. But I would rather – I think I would rather have – and Harmon, you were kind of making the case for this. Or someone was making the case. I think it was you. About Rishard Matthews. Like, are we overlooking this guy?
Oh, for sure. We're overlooking that dude, too.
I think Matthews is fine. I think Sharpe has more potential upside.
But here's the other thing. So you're investing a double digit, you know, again, maybe around 12 or something on Tajay Sharpe. Matt, you and I were talking about this before too, in terms of target share. I can't really see a scenario where he doesn't at least get 100 targets.
Yeah, it just depends on what you're projecting for Delanie Walker. You know, I mean, if he's going to dominate the target share again, but he probably will. Which he certainly could. But I agree with you. I think that Sharpe is going to push 100, and that's – I mean, he's a steal at his ADP, and that's the bottom line.
All right, Delanie Walker.
Love him.
I love him, too.
Me, too.
133 targets last year, and he was good, man. He was good. He obviously got the most targets of any NFL tight end. I don't necessarily know if that happens again this year.
Why not? Why not? I mean, like, we just sat here and talked about Tajay Sharpe as being, like, a deep, deep sleeper. We talked about Rishard Matthews. He doesn't fire anybody up. I mean, why not? The Titans haven't exactly been great when it comes to developing wide receiver talent in their history. I mean, look at the failed fantasy carcasses of Kendall Wright and Justin Hunter.
Oh, Justin Hunter might not even make the team.
Right. I mean, so why can't he see another 130 targets this
year? Yeah, I guess, you know, gosh, that's such a big number, though. And especially if we're talking about this team wanting to run the ball a lot, maybe they won't be able to run because their defense is not great either. But I don't know. We'll see. He's where's Delanie Walker going right now?
Eighth round.
Eighth round? That's a great price for him.
Value.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, he's a fine pick there.
All right, I got to do one last fan league update, right?
Yes.
All right. At least
last
I
one.
Think so. Here's the problem. I'm going to throw this out as a caveat. Adam Rank tells me the league is full. I think he's wrong. I think there is one spot left, but Ooh. Adam Rank did tell me that the league is full.
Controversial.
I went to the league. There is still one spot open. But again, I'm throwing this out there, not as a Steve Harvey thing, but I'm just letting you know, bruh, when I pick you, there's a possibility. It's a 50-50 chance that the league is full, but today we got to make a choice. Like, today's the last day. Like, we've been pushing this off way too long.
Yeah.
And today's the last day. So whoever I'm picking this guy, this dude by the name of Carlvin Rodney, at On Hiatus. I like the Twitter handle. I like the name. He had his 8-year-old son write me a letter.
Wow.
In addition to subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast.
Nice.
He had his son, 8 years old, write me a letter. Dear Mr. Co., my dad asked me to write you a letter to get him into the Danger Zone League. He listens to you guys all the time in the car when all I want to do is listen to 102.7.
That's amazing.
He even has mom playing fantasy football.
All right.
This is probably his last and only chance, so I really want to make it count. I know how happy he would be if my letter helped him get into your league. Please let me know with a reply from his son, Tyler Rodney. Well, listen, Tyler.
Tyler, I hope you at least negotiated for like some great Christmas presents or birthday presents
yeah,
or something like that.
For real.
Get yourself like an Xbox or something.
Yeah, bruh. Because you know what, man? You got your pops into the league. Maybe.
50-50 chance. 50-50 chance. Thanks for the letter, bud.
Look, we have to confirm, all right? But Adam Rank tells me the league is full.
Well, I feel all like right. I think if it happens, mistaken. Because Adam Rank, truth be told, is no longer part of our Fantasy Live family. He's going to the new show Fantasy and Friends. So in that case, I think he should have to cede his spot. If you guys are one person over.
Wow.
Controversial. Look at us just breaking news over
training
here.
Camp battle.
Breaking news over here.
Wait, can I just say one thing for the guys?
If we use that logic, I have to be off of this league too, pal.
No, oh. you're on Fantasy Live.
Danger Zone.
All right. All right.
Just one thing for
and
the.
And you're on the Fantasy Live podcast.
That's
true. For the Beard League listeners, you guys been hitting us up on Twitter. We don't have a league built yet.
What?
We didn't build the league
Buddy,
yet.
Are you serious?
No. We haven't set it up.
Look, it's August 26th.
It will take all of 2.5 minutes
right.
to set
we
it up.
We have all of the
fine.
People who are going to be in it. Just keep an eye on your emails. Next week, we'll reach out to you. We don't have it built yet.
I thought Danger Zone was lagging. Y'all are lagging.
Oh, we've
man.
Picked.
Oh, is your league?
We don't have 50-50 controversial spots up in the
it's
air.
It's built with 15 owners in it already signed up.
Oh, well, whatever. We'll get around to it. Some of us are busy doing work every day.
We're
not
fancy.
Not just
we set up our
not just piddling around over there at our desk.
Piddling
whatever you
around?
Do
what are you talking about?
I said
piddling.
What I said,
I don't
piddler.
All right.
Understand
Let me play the Gelhar role. Let's just dap and get out.
All right. Yeah, let's dap and get out of here.
Over you guys.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Daps and hugs. Give me daps, cause I be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up, daps abound, daps.
All right, daily dap time. We're going to start with Matt Harmon. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm going to give a dap to our two researchers that are back, Kareen and Evan Lazar. Is it Laser or Lazar?
I believe, but yeah. I think I like Laser.
I'm going to go
I
with
like
Laser.
Evan Laser.
All right,
Laser.
The Laser is his new name.
Should we just call him E-Laser?
How about you? Yeah, I'm just going to call him Laser.
Laser.
Laser's cool. Yeah,
laser.
Anyways,
Blaze.
So
Laser.
They sent us a nice email around yesterday like, hey, if you guys have any like research needs, feel free to reply.
Right.
And right away last night I was having a few beers as usual and was working on this zero RB running back piece or zero RB piece and I was like, you know what? Actually, I do have something that I need. And they dug it up for me like right away this morning when I came into work. It was already here.
Wow.
I will be sharing it in my piece.
They're so
later
good.
Today. They're
clutch.
Elite. I love it.
That.
They are so good.
Look at that.
Because I mean, I prefer to like do my own research or whatever.
Shocking.
Listen, I like numbers. I like data. I like researching things. Get off my back.
No,
don't at me. and
I'm just gonna mute you.
So I like that would be preferable. Yeah. So I like doing all that stuff, but it was really cool to just have them like, hey, I just got a real quick
hey, welcome to
you.
The
Boom.
Big time, pal.
Well, listen, I like to stay down here with the people.
The peeps?
I like to be one of the people.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm a man.
I actually do a lot of my own research, too.
Yeah.
But it is very
nice
having that.
You just steal our takes.
Wow.
Wow, that was.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. You're not Gelhar. You're not.
Whoa.
Oh. Oh. It's getting worse.
Jeez.
Man, Daily Dabs.
Firing off right now.
He's got negative.
I'm just going to drop my headset and leave now.
Just
I don't care.
Dropping fire on people.
Cripes.
All right, franchise. Give me one.
So Harmon dapped our research team. I was going to dap. We're wrapping fantasy draft week here, right?
We are.
Yes. This was a big thing a lot of people have been planning for months.
Yep.
Just a good thanks to our social team. Heather Pink ran a lot of stuff. I know she's been out of her mind, stressed out.
100%.
Our Periscope.
Even came in on her day off to help out with the Periscope.
There you go. Yeah. And,
did she?
She's a real champion.
You guys have been hitting her super early doing Fantasy Live, crushing it. You can watch those on NFL.com.
Our
written content, we've been pumping out articles this week to help for our draft kit.
You guys are machines.
Oh my God, it's just – everyone's just been overworked like crazy this week, and we've been crushing it. So just
– there you go.
Shouts to our team here.
To fantasy draft.
Yeah, that's what's up.
All right, there you go. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, what's up?
You guys have been all altruistic in like dapping people that we work with. Not me.
Typical selfish Marcus.
Yep. Yep.
Sad.
You know what? Dabs to De La Soul. These guys have been doing it for almost 30 years. It's been,
amazing.
It's been 27 years since they released 3 Feet High and Rising, which is an absolute hip-hop classic, and I'm dapping them because they released their first full album in 12 years today.
Amazing.
Did you listen to it yet?
I haven't listened to it yet. That's what I'm going to be doing as I go back and write the Fantasy Stock Watch today.
Cool.
And the Anonymous Nobody. That is the name of the album. I mean, they have actually been doing...
Give me the full title here.
The Anonymous Nobody.
That's the album name?
That is the name of the album.
Oh, interesting.
It was one... They financed it through a Kickstarter campaign. Now,
that's right.
They've
that's
actually
right.
been doing... They're
sick.
Their last full album was The Grind Date back in 2004, which is an amazing album. They've been doing a lot of stuff. I mean, they've had EPs. They've had some mixtapes. They've dropped a few things here and there, but this is their first full-length album since The Grind Date in 2004.
Cool.
Guest stars include Snoop Dogg, Jill Scott, we got 2 Chainz, Usher.
2 Chainz?
I believe David Byrne of the Talking Heads is actually has a feature on there as well. So looking forward to kind of digging into this. But props to De La Soul, who's been doing this thing for 30 years in hip-hop, which is pretty much a young man's game, and they are still putting out bangers. Yeah. So can't wait to get to this.
Okay, full disclosure. I'm not a big fan of De La Soul's albums, but let me say this, though.
Their live shows.
Oh, my God.
Their live shows are so good. So good.
Oh, my gosh. Their live shows rip.
So
man.
Good.
If you ever get a chance to go see De La Soul live, do it.
Do it.
And again, it doesn't matter if you're a fan of their music or not. Oh, my God. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about their live shows. It's so awesome.
It's a party.
I will give a daily dap as well. How about more music on your way? This fellow by the name of Dave East. It's a very simple name, but, man, this kid can absolutely spit. He was on XXL's freshman cover, and that's kind of how I discovered him a little bit. But, man, he's got a very strong online following. I didn't realize that. But I think he was signed by Nas. But if you go look up some of his music on YouTube, he's got a little bit of something for everybody, right? Like, so he's got some deep lyrics, but he's got some club bangers, too. He's got a little bit of but he's a young guy. And, man, his wordplay is on point. Dave East for those hip hop heads.
That's really funny because De La Soul, who worked with producer Dave West.
Oh, here we go.
Synergy.
Nice.
I like it. Hey, our fill-in producer, Brandon McGinnis, the Irishman. Has a daily dap as well. What's up, pal?
Speak about synergy. I'm going to bring it back to what Harmon and Franchise did.
Right.
And I'm going to give a daily dap to the only real reason why I'm doing this podcast right now.
Which is?
TD Daniel. Today is his
last
last day with the NFL Media Group.
Black Tie.
Props to Black Tie.
He's been on a farewell tour here.
He has. Yeah. And this is going to wrap it up.
That is and craziness.
Young Kobe, TD, Tunde, whatever you want to call him. He's the only reason why I got brought over to podcast last year.
Oh, there you
so
go.
I wanted to give my daily dap to him as a public thank you for everything he did for me.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Nice. Oh. TD.
We will miss you, TD.
Yeah, for sure.
Man. All right, that's your show for today. We'll be back at it. Look for all the fresh content online. By the way, sign up for NFL Game Pass. It's the best, I'm telling you. NFL.com/Game Pass. We'll see you.
Peace.